Okay, so for our last topic in the series, I think after this week we're taking a break, and then we have two pre-Hanukkah shirim. I think one by Reiter Chiner, one by me, something like that. Okay, so we've been discussing the effects of communication technology on halacha. And one of the first times I really thought of it in this sort of more or abstract way was when I was reading through this book a few years ago. So this was a book that was put out by the Beis Din of America on issues dealing with 9/11. Some of it is hashkafic pieces on how to deal with it, but most of it is halachic discussions that the Beis Din had regarding the agunot that were created during the fall of the towers, right? When the missing husbands who we assume died in the towers if they were there when the towers collapsed, but we don't actually know 100%. We didn't see them. There are no witnesses. All anyone who would have witnessed it would have gone down with them. That year in YU, the Kol Elyon, which is like the post-Smicha super Kol El, whatever you want to call it, they were learning Yevamot at the beginning of the year, and they weren't learning the section, or they weren't learning Yevamot, but whatever it was, after September 11th, they switched for the whole year to learn the Prakim in Yevamot that deal with the questions of Aguna, because they needed as many minds as they could working on these questions. So at some point they collected the tshuvot that had been put together to, in the end, permit all of the women whose husbands had been lost in the towers to remarry. Tshuvot from Rav Zalman Chaim Goldberg, from Avadia Yosef, explanatory articles that summarized sort of the positions by Rabbi Chaim Jachter, by Rabbi Michael Broyd, by Rabbi Yonah Ries. Who else were there tshuvot by here? Ray Willig, obviously, but that was from internal to the Beis Din of Gedalia Dov Schwartz. They put together this book contending with catastrophe, Jewish perspectives on September 11th. Their sources over here. But one of the issues that I found fascinating in this halachic discussion, as tragic as it obviously was. Was a question the poskim dealt with, which was, does the fact that the husband went to work and he was their relationship was in good standing as far as everybody knew, they weren't fighting, there's no reason to believe the husband would want to disappear, and then he's in the towers, he goes up to whatever his office on the 97th floor, and then the towers fall, and now it's a week later, it's 2 weeks later, it's a month later, it's 2 months later, he never contacts, he doesn't call. Does that fact alone, does that help us conclude that the husband was killed in the towers? Now, the answer should be no, or at least at first glance should be no, because the classic question of Aguna is at some level similar to this, right? Aguna nowadays tends to be used, at least colloquially, referring to women who are either civilly divorced or want to be divorced from their husbands. Their husbands are withholding giving a get. But classic aguna were simply cases where you didn't know whether the husband was dead, and since you don't know the husband's dead, then the woman might still be married, but her husband isn't there because he's missing, so the woman is trapped, she's chained, she's anchored to a marriage which is, dead in the sense that there's no right party present for her to continue the relationship with. Now, where does that come from? So you look at number one, the Mishnah Gemara and Yevamo tell us as follows. Nafa l'mayim. If the husband falls into the water, ben she'esh l'ansof, ben she'en l'ansof, ishta asura. Whether the water is finite, meaning not obviously all water bodies of water are finite, but meaning if it's a small area of water, it's a pond, it's a lake, something where you can see the ends of it, Or it's one, She'ain Lemsof, the ocean, right? Which obviously does eventually have an end, but not one that you perceive immediately. And then we don't find the body, so the wife is forbidden to remarry. And Amar Rabbi Meir, Maisa Bechad Shanafa Labor Agadol, Va'alo Lachar Shloshi Yamim. So Meir then provides a story which seems to be a proof of sorts. And he says, well, there was once a guy, he fell into a huge pit, and then after 3 days, he came out, right? You thought he fell to the ends of the earth, and the truth is, he didn't, right? You thought he died, he didn't. Rabbi Yossi said, no, there was once a time, or once a story, that a blind person had gone down to use the mikvah in a cave, right? And then, what had happened? They waited there, right? They waited until enough time that they would die, and then their wives, right? They allowed their wives to get married. There's another story of someone who had gone into the water, and they found part of his body, they found his leg, so the Chacham said, well, it depends how much of the leg you find, right? If you only find the bottom of the leg, so then you assume that he might still be alive, he just lost his leg, I don't know, a shark bit off his leg, but whatever, but if you find the entire leg, or whatever, minakuva lamaila, right, the majority of the leg, even the upper legs, you can, right? Okay, so then you can assume he did die. Then the Gemara summarizes what's going on. So Amar Ravashi, Hadam Rabbanim Mayim Shein Losof Ishta Asura Hani Mili Bein. Just leave that for a second. The rule that the Mishnah sets out, therefore, is what's called, right, what we call, becomes known just the halachos of Mayim Shein Losof, right, that even a husband who falls into a body of water that's endless, even though you might think he died, since you can't prove it, so then. But it is usur for the wife to remarry, and these stories support it, and then call into question some of the issues and the exact parameters of it. But that's the basic principle. Now the Gemara attempts to limit it in the following way: Amar Rav Ashi, Hadamar Rabbanan Mayim Shein Lemsof Ishto Asura Hani Mili Beinish Dalma. Rav Ashi said, I think this halach only applies if the husband is a regular person. Avol Tzur B'Mer Rabbanan Lo. But if he's a Talmud Chacham, he's well known, so it's not true. Disalik Kalislai, because if he came out on the other side of the ocean, everyone would hear about it. Right? If he's well known, so then the tabloids would be all over it, and word would come that he's alive. Velohi in the Gemara says, not true. Lo shana inisht alma, lo shana tzurba mirabonan. The Gemara says it's not true. Whether it is a regular person or it's a well-known person, Talmud Chacham, doesn't matter. Do you have it in? You're not allowed to remarry. Right? Meaning they can't get remarried. If they did, we won't force them to get divorced under such circumstances, but the Rabbanan are not allowed to give permission to this person to remarry. I mean, we're not totally sure that the person isn't dead, and therefore if they do get remarried, okay, so perhaps we can allow it, but lechatchila we would never allow them to get married under these circumstances. So what the Gemara seems to entertain, right? The Gemara, right, starts with this notion that a woman whose husband gets lost in the ocean, we can't lechatchila assume that he's dead, and therefore we can't allow her to get remarried. The Gemara suggests the possibility that this is because we have no reason to believe we would have heard from the husband if he was alive, and therefore, even if he's lost at sea, you know, we have no way of knowing, maybe he got out on the other side. But if we have a reason to assume that we would have heard that he's alive, so then, when we don't hear he's alive, so then, we can say, okay, he must be dead. And the Gemara rejects that explicitly and says it's not true. Right? We would never lechatchila rely on this, no, on this lack of evidence, on the fact that we haven't heard that the husband is alive, to assume that he is dead. So you would think that the halacha is very simple, right? Even though the woman's husband went to work and he was on the 97th floor and then it fell, so you would think, right, this is very similar to the case of Mayim Shaylam Sof, Shayeshlam Sof, whatever the point, right? At this point, you're not going to find, right? It's like Maim Shaylam Sof, right? Meaning, he was in a dangerous situation, but at this point, could be anywhere, right? He theoretically could have gotten out and gone to wherever in the world. The fact that he never went home doesn't prove anything, because the Gemara raised the possibility that the fact that we didn't hear about him proves that he's dead. It's not true. It doesn't prove that he's dead. And therefore, you would say, it doesn't matter. He didn't call. He disappeared. So he disappeared. It's always possible. The husband decided, this was a convenient excuse. He's going to run away, and that's the end of the story. It's very cynical, but you know what? Sometimes it happens, and therefore, the woman can't get remarried. Or if I just put it simply, the assumption of the Gemara is that, halachically, we assume that it's possible to lose somebody. Right? It's possible for someone to just get lost in the world, right, under the most unlikely circumstances. We have to be worried about the fact that somebody just got lost. And therefore, we have to assume that unless we know for sure he died, that he might be alive. And this is Nifsach and Halacha. You look at two. Ra'u shenafa l'yam, afil tov b'yam gadol. You see him fall into the sea. Doesn't matter. Big ocean. Doesn't matter. Ein midin lav shemesh, shema yatsa makom acher. You can't. Right, you can't testify that he's dead because maybe he's not dead. Maybe he's on the other side of the ocean. Vim nafalamay mechunasim. Gon borim arash omid ra'akol svi avishak. They need to see nafshu. This is from the second case, second story in the Mishnah. If you see someone go into a limited body of water, right, meaning one where you can see all four sides of it, and you wait, right. I mean, the guy went swimming, right. It's a relatively small lake. Let's say it's very deep. You're not going to be able to go into it to actually check. Right, you're not going to scuba dive find the body, but it's a small lake. You can see all sides of it. Right, he goes in, he goes swimming, he goes diving. Right, and then you wait 3-4 days. Right, and he doesn't show up on any side of it. So then that was the second case in the Mishnah of the Suma Shirad Litval. So then you're allowed to assume he's dead because right, you know he went down to the water and you know he didn't come out. So then, may love shemay some asin as ishto.
An hour, at least 3-4 days, or about half an hour.
Sure, but I'm just okay. let's just make it simple. But yeah, an hour, whatever it is, right? If you know he didn't get out, right? However long you think you need to prove that the guy isn't floating somewhere on the other side of the on the lake, but basically enough time for you to figure out the guy is dead. So then, fine. But that's because you know he didn't get out. But if you have no way of knowing. So then you can't let him get remarried.
So we're gonna
come back to that, right? So the simple understanding is she can never get married, but we're gonna see that the postgame are going to wonder about that. So we're gonna come back to that. Yeah.
Doesn't the Holocaust just destroy all?
We're gonna get to this, uh-huh. And this is exactly right. So this is sort of the ABCs of this sugya, right? But this is one of the sugyas which fascinates me because, despite the fact the Mishnah and the classic halacha is so clear, right, that if a husband is in a super dangerous situation where by all, right, statistically the chances he survived are almost nil, but they're not nil, right? The fact that you don't hear from the husband means nothing. We have to be worried that he's God knows where, right? You read the Gemara, you read Shulchan Aruch, that's the halacha, that's all there is to it. And yet, right, that's not all there is to it. And what among many other arguments, one of the things that Poskim start to deal with is, well, does the world change as it becomes smaller and smaller? Right? Does the world change once we have reason to assume that we would have figured out whether he's dead or not? And so that's what we're going to get to. Okay, but let's take it step by step. So the Shulchan Aruch in number 3 continues. It says, "V'chein ha'isha shehed la acher shetov abayla b'mayim shein lehem sof v'lo Allah v'avad zichrov nishtakech shemo." Let's say a woman, right? Someone testified that her husband drowned in endless waters, but his body never came up. Right? He's been forgotten. Commotion is barred. That doesn't work. Right? And even if, right, Bezdin had permitted her, but she hadn't yet gone remarried, so she can't marry. But then, based on the Gemara, the Imni says, lo teitse. But if she got married. But if she did get married, we wouldn't force her to divorce. Now, why is that true? So this is, right, the first question. The first thing to notice is that this halacha is derabana. Right? Midaraisa halachically, we are allowed to assume the husband's dead because he fell into mayim shem lemsof. Right? He fell into the ocean. You didn't see him come out. He probably drowned. That's what Beit Shmuel highlights for you. Right? Just to make it short. He says, right? All these cases, any case similar to this, she won't get divorced if she got married. Why? Because al pi rov, he died. And halachically, midaraisa, all we care about is rov. And since in the majority of cases the husband will, in this case, die, midaraisa, we assume that he did die. Midarabanan, we don't want to rely on rov because of chumra deishas ish, and therefore we rely on the higher standard. Okay. So the first point that's going to become relevant is understand that this is, first of all, derabanan. Midaraisa, simply the fact that the guy fell into the ocean, you haven't seen him come up, should be reason enough for her to get remarried. Midarabanan is not true. The Rashba in 5 says, well, wait a second. Vim tomar maishna mi tava b'mayim shein lem sof. Lofkin rabban l'kidushin minei. L'kidushin mishum aginus. The Rashba, dealing with a different sugya, said, well, why don't we, in a case like this, why don't we uproot the marriage retroactively? Called the Mekadesh Adayit Rabbanan Mekadesh. Right here we're creating a Rabbanan problem to begin with, but why don't we just solve the problem by uprooting the marriage retroactively? Then we don't have to worry about whether the husband's dead. He says, no, we won't do it. Yesh lomer tevachdi lo mifkai lu rabbanan l'kidushay. El heichad ikasrach gita k'dahacha. Even under extenuating circumstances, if there isn't some sort of get, the rabbis don't uproot marriage retroactively. Inami be'erachad me'et shemiz baila. Alternatively, where we have some direct evidence, like even a single witness, the husband died. The hinami yishin takanas agunosu k'diisav reish b'isha rabba the samcha am nusay de'ed v'fil b'goyim esiach levidumo. Right, if we have any direct testimony to rely on, so then we'll rely on it. V'ikar time to call mekadosh adaita the rabbanim mekadosh of kinar rabban l'kedushin minei. Meaning we have theoretically the possibility to do this, but we'll never do it. Right. So you see that again. Is there a banan? And not only is there a banan, but the rabbis went out of their way to not uproot the marriage, even though that's a theoretical option, because we don't do that unless there's either some direct evidence or some get. But that's where we're at, right? So far, there's this rabbinic law against allowing the woman to remarry just because her husband seems to have disappeared off the face of the planet, and the fact that we haven't heard anything doesn't prove anything. Okay, now, what does it mean she can't get married? Does that mean she can never get remarried? Does it mean she can't get remarried for X amount of time? Your question. So that's Machlok Rishonim. Yolka number 6. The Mordechai quotes from Elazar of Verdun. Rechuz HaRavi Elazar of Verdun. Diktek midyar mayim shem lesof ishto asura viloka amar asura la'olam shma mina delav la'olam ka'amar. So Elazar of Verdun says, well, it's not forever. It just means, I don't know how long, but not forever, right? Meaning we delay allowing her to get remarried, but it's not forever. And he really tried hard to permit this woman who'd been trapped for 4 years because her husband had drowned. But he said, I don't understand this at all. Right? This is shocking. He said, how do you read this into the Gemara? Rav Ashi said that if someone is married to a Talmud Chacham, so Rav Ashi thought that you would be allowed to get remarried. Im kein le divrei mefarish asur la olam vazlin basar stomach gani asur astam im kein tumra ban la malon ze shir mazay muteres. Right, so there's a problem here, right? Because if you think, right, the problem, right, linguistically is if there is a limit, even in the regular case, so then you have to articulate the difference in the time limit between the Talmud Chacham and the regular person, right? If the regular person can never get remarried, and according to Talmud Chacham, at some point she can, right, fine. But you can't say, well, everyone can get remarried at some point, and Talmud Chacham can get married earlier without telling us, giving, right, putting numbers on this. Umiyu Rabbi Avram. Cause of the Kadmain of Lahati, right? He said, I don't understand this. V'chein of Baruch, and cause of Rav Yah. Did I get that right? He said, right, in the end of the day, this was not accepted by the majority of Rishonim. So there was this possibility, again, of Elazar of Verdun, but the Mordechai notes the majority of Rishonim did not accept this and felt that the halacha is that in the case of the woman whose husband is lost, she can't get remarried ever. Okay. If you look at the Trumas Hadeshen, in number 7, he writes as follows. He says, Mikol makom, otavu. Uval sham haya v'yeshna lo krovim harbe v'kameis medinos v'zekah v'mashon nishtak yishmo v'avet zichro. The Trumas Hadeshen was in the middle of a anaguna shayla, and it's in the middle of his anaguna shayla. He says, but you know what? I don't think that this is really true always. He said, in that case, right, there's this husband who was lost. He says, "V'zekama shon mishnagash mavav zeh husband many years since he's gone." Ubavon osenu haravim achshav bigalu senu anu mifuzarim mifuradim ad bechol makom. So nowadays in galus we're spread out, a few Jews everywhere. V'ilu hayachai birachok birichok masayim v'shlosh meot parts ayu no davin ishmalanu. Trumas Hadeshen says, you know what? I think that this whole sugya might not be true anymore. Right, and this is the first step towards Heter. Because the Trumas Hadeshen says, wait a second. Said, why do you think that in the time of Chazal, they were worried that maybe the person came up on the other side of the pick your ocean, and that we wouldn't have heard about it because there were no Jews there? Right, if the guy ended up in, you know, America, right, which they didn't even know about, so then there was, you know, the Native Americans weren't going to tell anybody that this Jew landed there. But nowadays, there's a few Jews everywhere, and Jews have a way of communicating. Right, if a Jew found him anywhere, the one Jew, wherever he happened to be, would find a way of telling somebody who tells somebody who tells somebody, and the word would get back. Right, so the Trumas Hadeshen is the first person to say, wait a second, maybe, even though the Gemara said you can't lose somebody, the very fact that we have people around the world is enough to assume that we would have heard if he's alive, and therefore maybe we can use that as a sniff, lahakel, and allow this woman to get remarried. Now, what you have from here on in is a series of poskim who in each generation make the following argument, which is sort of interesting, which is, the Gemara says we can never assume someone's dead without direct evidence. And the fact that we haven't heard doesn't prove anything. And then you have each generation of poskim saying, well, wait a second. Our world is a little bit more connected than that time period. So maybe nowadays it's different. And then the next generation, what do they do? Well, even if you don't agree with the first person who tried to put the chink in the armor, that's because the world was only a little bit more connected. But we're more connected than that. And the next posek will say, well, I don't know if he is right, but our generation is even more connected than that. And the more connected the world is, right, the more likely, you know, it's a classic argument of a posek, right, is you try to kimptify, or if you want to make a verb, right, out the previous generation's chumrah, right? You say, that was only true because their world looked like this. And each generation says, well, you know what? Maybe we can push against the chazak of the Gemara. The Gemara had said, you can never assume that the fact that you haven't heard from somebody means he's dead. You could lose somebody in this world. Trumas Hadeshen said, I don't think that's true because there are Jews everywhere and we communicate. Chasam Sofer, number 8, says, I think, right, after going through the Trumas Hadeshen, he said, you know what? Maybe you don't agree with the Trumas HaDeshen. But that's because the Trumas HaDeshen is living in the 15th century. Al kol panim bizmanenu shenishtanu ha'itim mimasha haya bimeyem dekviya beidoar b'chol atar v'atar. Right? We're better than Trumas HaDeshen. The Trumas HaDeshen was relying on word of mouth of Jews. But we have even more advanced technology. It's called mail. Right? We have mail. V'ilo yakayam, if he was alive, amayim ovilu merachok lagur, and the water had taken him to the other side of the world, nihi delo hayabam yishum dam. Let's say he can't travel anymore. I don't know why. Right? He got to the other side of the world, and you know, he's not in good medical shape. He can't do the travel. He would have sent a letter, right? What type of husband who was in a good relationship wouldn't at least inform his wife he's alive? Commander of Ashi. But what's the real problem that the Chassam Sofer has to deal with? Is the Gemara
rejects. Right?
Seems to reject this explicitly, right? The Gemara, it's one thing when the Gemara doesn't talk about it. It's another thing when the Gemara goes out of its way to say, wait, don't you sometimes hear about whether somebody's alive, and therefore, or you would assume that you could, and therefore if you don't, that proves that he's dead, and the Gemara says, no, it's not true. Right, Rav Ashi was the first person to come up with this. Right, and we reject Rav Ashi. So the Chassam Sofer said, look, maybe we reject Rav Ashi, and maybe we even reject the Chassam Sofer, which is really, if you think about it, a channeling of Rav Ashi, just a little bit, right, farther along. Said, nah, look, well, come on, Rav Ashi. It's really down on Chacham Lo Shayach Din. Right, Ma'im Shein Lamsof Mishum Nisle Kala Nihid Lo Kaima Lo Nachi. He said, "Look, Rav Ashi, we don't paskin like him, but the spirit of what he said. Don't tell me you got it wrong. You think the Gemara thought that we can never take the fact that we haven't heard from him as evidence that he's dead, you think they rejected Rav Ashi? No, they just didn't like the extent of Rav Ashi, right? We know that. The Trumas HaDeshen accepted a version of Rav Ashi, and I'll take it further. That's true, but that's the Rabbanan. Remember, it's only the Rabbanan. Said, let me reread it back. We've already found out that the whole Isser is the Rabbanan. He said, you know why it's the Rabbanan? You think we rejected Rav Ashi? No, we always accepted Rav Ashi for the Daraisa. Meaning Rav Ashi, when he said that you can assume that if you don't hear from somebody, then he's probably dead. You think we don't like that Chazaka? It's not true. We love that Chazaka. It's just we don't love it enough to lift the Derabbanan Isser, but we accept it in the Daraisa. What do you have? Rav Ashi accepts it even Derabbanan. Chazal, right? The consensus of Chazal accepted it Daraisa. Once you say that, well, the Trumas HaDeshen said, look, but push it a little bit farther, maybe we'll accept it even Derabbanan, right? Tell us it's in a world where there are Jews everywhere, we'll accept it. Chassam Sofer says, you know what, I don't have to rely on that, I'll push it just a little bit farther, because maybe you wouldn't agree that just the fact that there are Jews around means you're going to communicate. But nowadays we have this high-tech invention called mail, and just so you know, the mail of the Chassam Sofer, this is not such good mail, right? I'm not speculating. There are other, one of my favorite tshuva in the Chassam Sofer is this, he starts with this lengthy shayla, or this lengthy introduction to a shayla, right? The guy, someone asked him a shayla, I need an answer immediately. Right? The Chassam Sofer writes back, he said, you know what? I really wasn't in a rush to get your answer. You know why? Because the mail here is terrible. You sent me a letter and said it's urgent, but I saw the date on it, and you wrote it 6 months ago, right? Because the mail got here so late. I'm presuming that if it was urgent, then it got to me 6 months ago, then it's not that whatever happened, happened. So I took my time in writing back. I'm sorry, it's not my fault, it's the mail, right? So it's not, right? We're not talking advanced mail system, but the Chassam Sofer is saying, still, that's enough. Right, he continues, and he said, and then I'll be mitzari if something, right, none of the posts can really just say this by itself, but he said, let me add a svara of Relazar Verdan. The Mordechai said, the most poskim don't say that there's a limit, right, that there's an end when somebody becomes permitted, but Relazar Verdan said, there's, right, even by regular Mayim Shem Lem Sov, at some point, if you don't hear from somebody, so you're allowed to assume he's dead. He said, you may not like Relazar Verdan by itself, but let's combine them. Rilazar Verdun says that even in a classic case, it shall eventually be mutter. And I think that we can channel Rav Ashi's svara and say that even the Chacham would agree, once you have male, combine them together, we can permit. Etc. It's a great logic. And it's better than the rabbis, right? Meaning the Talmud Chacham. I wouldn't use this logic by itself. Because I've got to admit, it's possible there's a reason someone didn't write a letter, right? Maybe the guy is, you know, I don't know, he's right in a coma, who knows, whatever it is. But it's still a minority of Aruba, Diruba, the kind of a Madila Beso. Most people would have told their family they were alive. If you add everything together, therefore I can be mitzari of everything together, right? And nowadays I think it's mutter. Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva about the Holocaust, number 9. There's many, many Tshuvot. I couldn't pray. Agunot, there's so many. Rizal Khan alone, I forget how many he has. I think it's 168 Tshuvot or something on Agunot.
He develops the whole approach in terms of Tricola.
Well, yeah, every posting has their own. Again, I only took a few.
Changing times.
Oh, yeah. Each posek has their own. Yeah, and Rav Yitzchak Khan was one of the primary poskim in the area. I took just, honestly, what I did here was I took the tshuvot from the 9/11, tshuvot, and just followed it, who they quoted. Because, if you want to do, except for Rav Avadya. I didn't put Rav Avadya quoted, because Rav Avadya quoted everybody, right? But so I took some of the more mitzumtzum tshuvot and just followed their logical progression. So Rav Moshe, number 9, says as follows, B'mosef plasa, kichada havina, va'achas kadamina, ha'isha sara ishas avram, melamed avonah, shenises lo b'kayit, avritzad yizayin, b'r, whatever, b'rau, okay, whatever it is, v'hi'ida asher ba'alo nilkach b'tzava ha'polanim, b'chal melchama, v'nashba v'yara germanim. So this is, it is, right? There was, a woman, she said her husband was taken, right, to be in the Polish army at the beginning of the war, and then he was captured by the Germans. She got a letter from a non-Jew who brought it to her. Now she hasn't heard anything. But she heard that everybody who was taken was killed by the Nazis. Right now he adds, but now it's been so many years, and he knew that he had a sister who was alive in Israel, right? And he knew that he had a son. Right? I'll add a little bit more. Not only is there communication, there is incentive to communicate. So then, I use that as a sniff lahakel with a bunch of other things. That's always how Eguna Shaila's work. We always add as many kulos as we can together. Because Truma Sadeshin, Chavzavish, call Islul, and she didn't tell him as man as Zev, Shef Shalota, as man Katsar. Right? Because nowadays, we can take the Truma Sadeshin, the Chassam Sober, we can push it just a little bit forward. Now, the Noda Behuda notes in 10. Right, they called the Vrayatir Imsha the Verbi Isha Zui, Bitanaishaza, Ishrubi Shimon, and Iskaria, Darim Yishtoke, Derek, call ours, Lois, a Sinabene, Hemsha, Lachov, Sharazalachik, Nadud, Mimenu, Lazva, Gunar, Rakhaya, Mishtobi Shalom, Darkar Lech, Lescor, Yamim, Hadim, Lachor, Levito. Now, Yuda said, all of this is obviously only if they get along, right? If you know they didn't get along, right, everything goes out the window, right? If this is the type of family where you just knew that the husband at some point just wanted to run for it, right? So then, and he gets the opportunity to fake his death, so then all bets are off. But if there is peace, he said, at least there's raglayim ledavar that he's dead. Right? The Noda Yehuda puts a bit of a twist on it. He says, look, I'm not telling you the fact that you can hear from him is enough to say she's mutter. I'm telling you, it's enough to make it that a posig should assume that she's probably dead, that he's probably dead, and find other reasons to be mekil. Right? And this was what I've heard from many poskim. Then in Agunot, right, what poskim really do is they first try to figure out what's the chance of the guy's alive. Like, just, you know, based on the evidence. If you assume he's dead, right, it seems that he's dead. So then the right thing to do as a posig is to find the halachic way to establish that halacha can assume that he's in fact dead. And that's really what the Huda is saying. He's saying, look, if they were really at peace, and there was no reason for him to run away, and you don't hear from him, he's probably dead. I'm not telling you that's enough. I'm telling you that's enough for you to pull together all the kulot to establish halachically that he's dead, to raise it to that bar. The Heichal Yitzchak, right, meaning Rav Herzog, right, had another shayla. Every week he used to go, he'd go to the market, he'd come back on Friday. He did that for many years. He would always go over this bridge. 5 years ago he went, there was a big storm, and Arala al Gdotav, the river overflowed. Hagesher Nishbar Lasrisim, right? The bridge shattered. Rechol Elu Sharilav Nidbakulam, and everyone on it drowned. Right, she adds all types of things. Right, there were sharp, right, sharp jagged rocks in it, and everything. And all the bodies, because of the water, was thrown into these rocks, and they disintegrated. They were torn apart. They only pulled out pieces of bodies. And we were at peace, but I haven't heard from him in 5 years. And this was attested to. So Rav Herzog adds a svara here, and he says, tshuva, right? Chazaka shena de mishanem ergilo. Right, here's his reasons for kula. I gave you, this is his summary, actually. Right? One is, we have a chazaka that people do what they always do. And therefore, if he always went on this bridge, he was probably there. So what does that mean? So he says like this. He said, on the one hand, it's really hard for me to be mekel, because how do we know he was there? And how are we supposed to know that he was on there at the right time? Maybe he went early. It must be that you know that he walked on the bridge at this time. And you know that the storm happened when he was there. We'll start with the assumption that he was probably on the bridge. So he said, one is, maybe we can assume, based on the chazaka, right, I'm not totally clear, but maybe you can assume, based on his chazaka, that he commuted when he said when he normally did. And then in the next paragraph, there's many paragraphs later, but the next paragraph I put here, Yiduashi dad gamim gdolim zechonim lebracha me'ri var, I can't pronounce that, chumas adeshen, she'im yadim yadua shechai v'shalom v'ishto mitoch shalom halach le'izem makom v'manat lachzor v'avers man rav v'lon rishma menu klum v'natori yasei shemen chesek eishet ish. And he said, we already know that Note Behuda says that if a couple got along and then he doesn't come back, that's enough to remove it from an Isser D'oraisa. And therefore, once you're mitzdaref that, again, you can add all the other kulots. You see, he goes in the direction of the Behuda. Remotion number 12 had another one of these shilas. And just look at the bolded part. And this is where I said that each posek, right, pushes it a little bit farther. The kol shegen ata bismanenu shaod nitosu beidor mihirud ayedir b'chol olam neged. Right, this is from the Chasam Sofer. Right, but he said it's better than that. Mikol man neged man shnat tavkod ayin alch kadav Chasam Sofer tshuvato lein erech. Right, Chassam Sofer, maybe you don't want to rely on the Chassam Sofer, but mail is so much better nowadays. V'gam nitrabuei itonim b'chol medinot. V'gam mitzad alachas va'oni agadol v'redifut v'chol mekamot v'kesh kol achad mi'Yisrael sh'nishar b'chayim ekrovav sh'bekan America sh'eshir Hashem yitbarach v'rachamav l'pleita. Said, and nowadays there's an added thing, there's a motivation, as Moshe said before, for people after the Holocaust to connect with their relatives. Everyone was looking for their lost relatives. So therefore, and here Ramosha says something interesting. He says, maybe, even though we wouldn't rely on this by an individual case, maybe Chazal never meant to asser it when it affects an entire community. But when there's hundreds and thousands of people in this circumstance, so then suddenly all those chazakos that we don't rely on by themselves, we will rely on by themselves. And since everybody is trying to contact each other, and everybody is trying to find out if their relatives are alive, so then, lichadchila, you can rely on it. So what you get is, right, the Gemara's assumption that a person can disappear in the world. Rav Ashi's claim that certain people can't disappear, namely Talmidei Chachamim, and therefore if they did disappear, they're probably dead. And the Gemara's rejection of it. And that should be the end of the story. But then every generation of poskim, right, challenged this assumption. Right? The Trumas Hadeshen says, well, maybe that's only when there aren't Jews everywhere. Once there are Jews everywhere, we have ways of communicating. Chassam Sofer said, well, maybe that's not enough. But if we have mail, mail is enough. You know, the Behuda says, well, maybe it's not enough to be Mekil, but if you knew people got along and they didn't communicate, that's at least enough to remove the Daraisa and encourage you to find reasons of being Mekil. Rav Herzog said, well, I'll accept that. Right? If you have other reasons as well, right? Like, right, you have a reason to think he was in a place where there was danger. Ramosha says, you know what? Nowadays, A, mail is even better. So even the Chassam Sofer wasn't right. Nowadays it would be right. And we add a Svara, which is that maybe we're only not willing to rely on this assumption based on lack of communication, right, implying death, if it's an individual. But if it's a whole community, so then, and you add not just the ability to communicate, but the motivation to communicate, so then we could be Mekil, right? And you see that each generation, right, as much as the fact that the Gemara seemed to reject this, pushes just a little bit farther and says, no, communication has gotten a little bit better. Motivation to communicate has gotten a little bit more, and that's enough, right, to be yotze from this sugya. You look at 13, right? So now coming to 9-11, right, in Rabbi Avadya's Shuvah, to be matir, one of the agunot. So look at the beginning, and then we'll go to the bolded part. Sim Ramaiti Lagon Rabbi Chaim Falaji, right? Rabbi Chaim Falaji in Shut Ma'im Chaim V'Shalom had already said V'Shamati B'Shem Rava Mufla Muchtar B'Keder Malchut Rava Chai Gaon. Kumarenu Agav Yaakov Avigdor. Shaya Omer, Shibiz Manenu, Shiatsu Aniyot, Bimanoa Shel Eish, Azovim Cholam, the Kitzveyers, Viam Rachokim. So nowadays, not only do you have this, but you have steamships. Right? So then you should be Mekil. Right? And then he goes through this whole history of different poskim who are Mekil because of steamships, and the Chassam Sofer, and the Chumash Hadesh, and then the bolded part, he says, Ulufiyani is daiti, yeish lomar, shekevin, she'etzim, gzeres, chazal, v'mayim, shem, and l'zob, mishom, miyot, nitzom, d'lo, shkiyach, bizmanenu, she'nosaf, rov, shel, kleya, tikshoret, kanal. So nowadays, right, then we were worried about a few people who would be alive, and you wouldn't, right, and you wouldn't find out about them. But now, but nowadays, we're even more connected. So nowadays, Chazal Gzer never even applied. And even if you say it's not Trey Rube, meaning it's not a reason enough to be Mekel, it's still an Umdina Chazaka, which should push us towards Kula. And then again, that T line that comes in every posik. Even if it wasn't true then, It's true now. Bitbarchud Atsumashu Kleatikshorit, Hatelephone, Valchud, Hamafrika, Vitonim, Radio, Vitelevisia, because now we don't just have mail, we don't just have steamships, we have telephones, and we have the internet, and we have TV, and we have radio, and we have newspapers, and we have planes. Right, planes traveling. Right, and you see this, and this is what I found fascinating about this sugya, is that you have this assumption in the Gemara, right, and each generation is convinced that it wouldn't be true in their generation, and then the next generation has the out. All they have to do is say, even if people didn't accept the generation before us, our communication technology and our motivation to communicate is a little better than theirs, and therefore maybe we can be Mekel. Right? So we go. The Gemara? No. Rav Ashi? Maybe. Trumas Hadeshen? Jews are scattered. Chasam Sofer? We have mail. Rav Chaim Falaji? We have boats. Rav Moshe? We have phones. Rav Avadya? We have internet, we have TV, we have cell phones. And each generation says it's just a little bit more of a reason to be Mekel. Look at 14. Rav Nata Greenblatt in his tshuva wrote, it seems another compelling reason to permit the aguna based on the extreme changes of Riven in recent years with the way life is managed in this country and all of the developed countries. At this time, it's not possible that a person can disappear and not know where he is. Even those that wander and sleep in the streets have a social security number registered with the government in order to receive benefits and to be treated by a doctor in the hospital, etc. Right? Rav Nata Greenblatt said, you know what? It's not just internet, it's also... It's not just we are better at communicating. It's not just that we have a motivation to communicate. We also have better verification. We have better system, right? The world is systemized, right? There's a system in place. We identify people, right? And that's also a reason to change. Taking all that into account, I gave you now the actual kulo, right? That the poskim brought up are summarized here in 15, right? It really comes down to six. Right, one is their mitzarev, the possibility that mayim shein lam sof is only when it's individual and not many people at once. Okay, Rav Moshe had added the kula. That's Rav Moshe's kula. The first one, what did I put here in this order? Right, is any case where it's a suffix, whether it's mayim shein lam sof, you should be mekel. Rav Moshe says if it's you should only apply the chumros of mayim shein lam sof if it's only one or a few individuals, but not a lot of them, and therefore this would not be true. Third is the notion, which Rav Yisrael Chanan really does develop, that's true, is the notion of trei rube, that if you have two majorities in it, then it's mutter. The fourth avenue of leniency is an approach that's often quoted in case of ego and resolution of the past 150 years. Namely, as we've already said, you take Rav Ashi, who said that if there's a Talmud Chacham, and his reputation would make it that you should have heard about his death, you can assume he's dead. The Trumas Hadeshen says, the reason we don't rely on that normally is because of Lo Plug, but once Jews are around the world, and most people, you'll find out that they're alive, it's mutter. Even though that wasn't accepted, right? I just gave you the summary, so you could look at it afterwards if that progression was hard to follow. Right? Chasam Sofer said nowadays it's easier because there's mail. Rav Moshe added because now, right, there's even more communication. Rav Avadya adds telecommunication. In the end, he just notes that poskim don't rely on this by itself, because in Aguna we always, right, because this basically eliminates a rule from the Gemara, right? So they always find other sniff in Lahaka. But what you see is each generation, even though they're not really willing to say this 100%, because it basically gets rid of Mayim Shein Lam Sof, they have this conviction that communication technology, as it gets better and better, basically makes the sugya of Mayim Shein Lam Sof non-existent. And then he gives two other reasons that people are Mako, relying on Relazim of Verdun. And then the Shvus Yaakov adds something which is very Mechudash, which is that the whole halacha of Mayim Shein Lam Sof, as we saw, is only Lechatchila, if they did get married, so we don't tell them to divorce. So sometimes we say that Shas Atchak Kibidi Evidami, now even though pretty much every case of Aguna would be a Shas Atchak, so you would think it wouldn't apply here. Shuz Yaakov said if it's a young woman, right, who is anxious to remarry, so then L'chadchila, we are mekel and mayim shem l'msof. So when you mitzarev all that together, post can link to be mekel. But what you see is, as I said, this sort of fascinating progression, where even though the Gemara, not only does it not accept the possibility that the fact that we didn't hear from the husband is a reason to think he's dead, it actually brought up that possibility and actively rejected it. That doesn't stop Poskim from having the conviction that the better communication gets, and the more you, of a reason you have to assume that somebody's alive, the more we can push against the Gemara, right?
Someone is alive.
What?
Someone isn't alive.
Sorry, that is someone isn't alive, right? And whether someone isn't alive, the more we can be makel, either directly be makel, or at least use that as a reason to find other reasons to be makel, even if that's really sort of the emotional reason that the posik is convinced that it's true. Emotional, whatever. Chazaka, right? It's the reason that the posik assumes there's an umdana de muchach, right? That even though the Gemara seems to reject it, we accept it because our world, as communication gets better and better, is basically, right, unrecognizable to Chazal, and therefore you can't help but recognize that change in reality and implications in halacha. So, again, we've seen this the last 3 weeks already, how communication technology affects basically every area of halacha. And this is one where, even though it's a very local, right, point, you see how it, right, against all odds, against the fact that Gemara seems to have itself been aware of this and rejected it, the poskim are so convinced that our world, because of communication, is so radically different that even though they seem to have a Gemara that actively quashes this svara, they nevertheless bring it back. And each generation, if they're not convinced it was true a generation ago, they're convinced that it is nowadays. Right, and I can see another posting in a few years will say, well, now your phone has a GPS built into it. So, you know, the next posting is just going to be the next, right, stage in this. But every generation seems to have this. Yeah?
So doesn't this, don't we leave ourselves open then to not just with situations where there's a tragedy, but if somebody just disappears, you can say, well, because the world is so small and communication is so good and you can track somebody wherever they are, that therefore, well, they must be dead.
So, I mean, the poskim, right, I mean, that's really what they say.
Well,
I mean,
that's
the qualification of the Yehuda, right? If they were living peacefully, right, and you have no reason to assume that he... So when there's no...
You think that they were living peacefully?
Well, that's the point. Well, that's the caveat the poskim put in, right? If you have no reason to think he would try to be lost in the world, right, then you can rely on it. If you have any concern that the person might want to be lost, or you just don't know, right, so then you're not going to be makel. But that's, right, that's where the poskim sort of balance that danger, right? Okay. Again, does it fully balance the danger? No, but it's also balanced because the poskim are never willing to use this by itself, right? They use it if we can mitzaris everything else. If we have no reason to believe he was in a dangerous situation, right, we don't have all the other rubim. We don't have nafal mayim shem l'msof, which is what creates the rov. Right, we don't have any of the other charges, so by itself we won't rely on it, but as part of a larger conversation, we will, but that makes it a bit less dangerous. Okay, we're not going to get to the second topic, which I... What?
You get a private eye.
Right, there are ways we could do it. Right? I wonder what a posing would say, right, if you got a private investigator and then you could, you know, trace his things, but again, if he just disappears, right, so maybe he, you know, had a better, you know, he hired the FBI, whatever.
Any developments in the troopers from the... World Trade Center.
I mean, all of them in the end were
just based on
were permitted. I mean, there were other reasons. No. So So we have a few minutes left. So I'll just throw it out. The other big sort of move forward in the Chuvot of the Aguna 9/11. This was one of them. The other one was a sort of quantum leap forward in how Poskim used DNA, dental records, and all types of things like that. That was the other big sort of jump in PSOC, was that Poskim, right, really started, were forced to develop their approach in a positive, like positive meaning, you know, more forceful, active acceptance of DNA and the like, which is a shear in and of itself, right? But that was really the other topic where technology had radically changed by the time we came to 9/11. Right? Again, if you're interested in all the halachic topics, right, this is an excellent book to read. They've translated all the Chuvot. There's the background articles, the actual Chuvot all translated, right? Plus, you know, all types of interesting. So, it's here. Contending is the Bezdin of America put out this book too. Yeah.
Does the same rules apply if the woman disappears?
So that's even more makil because it's, right, not a daraisa problem anymore. It's only a chemdrum and a gershom problem.
You can't marry more than one more today.
But again, it's only a cherem problem. So the stakes of the halach are much lower. I mean, there is a problem, but it's not the same, right? We will find kula much more easier in a case where it's the wife who disappeared. Okay. That's interesting. Whether the life insurance, yeah, I wonder whether the Poskim would introduce that. I haven't seen it, but I wouldn't be surprised if someone said it, or if it was even one of these children. I just missed it. Interesting. So I don't know. I wonder whether Poskim would bring in things like that. I haven't seen it, but again, it's totally possible. That would just be, that's similar to, Nuther Greenblatt's argument, right? That in addition to communication, we also just have better, right? We keep track of people more, right? I could see Nuther Greenblatt bringing in, life insurance investigators as part of that cheshbon. Okay. I'm just going to summarize the rest of the sources for you. I'm not going to read them. It's a totally another topic. But what I find interesting here is that this question of can you lose somebody in the world, while it's shayach for agunot, as we spent this hour on, there's actually a totally another topic that it's relevant for, which is a bracha, which nobody ever says, which is if you haven't seen a friend of yours for 12 months, you say the bracha of Mechaye Hameisim. If you haven't seen him for a month, you say Shechayanu. If you haven't seen him for 12 months, you say Mechaye Hameisim. And most poskim think that you might still be allowed to say Shechayanu if you haven't seen your friend in a month. Because as the poskim say, the reason you say Shechayanu, not all poskim, but many poskim say that the reason you say Shechayanu if you haven't seen your friend in a month is because Shechayanu is a bracha based on Simcha. And even if you've been in contact with somebody, Facebook, right, internet, email, phone, whatever it is, there's something different about seeing someone in person and, communicating with them through other means. But Mechayi HaMesim is based on the assumption that the guy is dead, right? He might have died. And there the poskim saying, no, nowadays you can't say Mechayi HaMesim, because if someone who you're in contact with had died, you would have seen it, right? There would have been an announcement, you would have gotten a phone call, right? You would have gotten a phone call from the shul, for a call from the relative, it would have been on Facebook, it would have been whatever, right? Nowadays, you can't lose track of somebody. You could try, right? But, if he died, you'll hear about it, right? And that, even though it's a totally another area of halacha, you see that poskim, that same sort of intuition that runs the agunah sugya, that nowadays it's really hard to lose somebody, right, comes up, right, pops up in this totally unrelated sugya of the bracha of Mechayim Esim, where poskim are driven by the same assumption. You just can't lose somebody in this world. And therefore, if you haven't heard that he's dead, it used to be, you didn't hear that somebody was dead for 12 months, right, sorry, you didn't hear from somebody in 12 months, you at least were worried that he was dead. So if you saw him, you're like, oh, I thought you might be dead, obviously you're not. Baruch Mechayim Esim. Nowadays, who's concerned to this? You haven't heard somebody in 30 years, if you didn't hear he was dead, right? No one's worried he's dead, right? Doesn't matter. The guy could be, 90 years old, and it's been 30 years. He's 120. You're still of Nochshash, he's dead, because you would have heard it, right? It would have been in the newspaper. Oh, oldest man on the planet, right? Dies at 119, right? You would have heard it. They're so convinced. And they say the bracha Mechayim Esim basically flies out the window, except for very local circumstances, which you can see. If someone went to war, right? Suddenly you did have a chash that he was dead. Right, so then if you don't see him for 12 months, then the poskim say maybe you can say it, or you knew he was sick. Right, certain cases the poskim say once there was a real suffix that he might have been dead, that's a bit different. Again, you can look at the sources yourself, but I just find it interesting that this question of can you lose somebody, can somebody die without you hearing about it, which runs the Aguna Shaila, is actually something the poskim grapple with, not just in this area, and that sort of ties together what I've been talking about the last few weeks, that communication technology doesn't just affect single areas of halacha. It happened to affect single areas of halacha. It brought about sort of a revolution that poskim have to deal with, right? A radical change that affects so many areas of halacha that are totally unrelated, but in certain ways are connected to each other. And halacha affects them in similar ways, even if the areas of halacha are radically different. So with that, we'll go to Mari.